We're going to read out of Romans the whole morning, this morning. Use a few verses beyond that as well. It's my last message today on this series called Valleys, because I really do sense again that there's many, many valleys we're either going through today or we'll go through in the future. We're even seeing valleys happening more and more, not just in our personal lives, but also our nation's life and nations around the world. And the Bible again tells us there will be tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. There's no valley we go through what God himself does not make a way. We can escape that, go through that, and cause his goodness and mercy to follow us in that valley. This morning's message here is entitled, Walking in Enduring Faith. Walking in Enduring Faith. I want to remind some of you folks that are old-timers in Jesus Christ what the Word of God says about faith, because God wants us not only to have faith, but God wants us to have enduring faith. Now, the reason for that is because sometimes valleys are longer than we think they are going to be. And sometimes the cliff on either side of the valley is actually steeper than we actually realize it could be. And the fact is, there's actually no escape out of many valleys except to turn around and go back the way you came. Throughout the entire Bible, it talks about not turning back, not going back, not returning to Egypt. Don't see those things as waters gone by. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back, but look forward at the path, the vision God placed inside your heart. So I'm trying to get you guys today focused on going through the valleys and realizing again the valleys may be long, but that we have a thing inside of us called enduring faith. No matter how long that valley may be, God will make sure it'll not be too long for you, that God's grace won't be there to see you through that valley and stronger on the other side of that valley. Amen. So today, if I say anything at all that actually makes sense, you're free to say amen. You're free also, if you don't agree, say, oh me, okay? But do say something, okay? I need to get some feedback here, because otherwise your minds will wander. You'll be thinking about your plans for Monday, thinking about shooting off fireworks next week here. You're going to think about all kinds of things like this. Next Sunday morning, we're having a special here. We're having different music played. Videos will be going on here honoring our nation's birthday as well. I'm going to also be bringing in here a special guest minister who's a war veteran, whose name is Leroy Baker. This guy's going to give a powerful message to us here again. Not sure it's what about, but he'll be touching on some things again about our nation, I'm sure, and about God's word mixed along with that. So please purpose to be here next Sunday if you're in town and can be here for that. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is God talking about Abraham himself, prophecy to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Today again is about faith that endures, faith that lasts, because we're living in a time in a society where many people have actually given up on a thing called longevity. And this word called perseverance and called commitment is going by the wayside more and more and more, being replaced by instant gratification, being replaced by microwave theologies, and being placed upon a thing or replaced by a thing that's called God's a God of breakthroughs, which means God wants a breakthrough right now, this second, every time. And the fact is, God seldom works as fast as we think he should or think he actually will. So those battles are actually going to be battles that God puts us into that's going to actually not destroy us, but make us stronger on the other side. We all know in nature that the trying of our faith, the Bible says, the spiritual realm is going to bring forth patience and bring forth and produce good things for us. In the natural realm, resistance also brings forth more muscles. Those who lift weights, I don't lift weights a whole lot, as you can see yourself today, but I have lifted weights in the past. I've done things that actually is like lifting weights, like slinging weed eaters and slinging bicycles and slinging tennis rackets there and lifting up babies. And I've done things in the past that actually takes, of course, physical energy there on freight docks, manual labor works and sports and so forth. And I've seen what it means to take and cause your muscles to go through distress, to put pressure and stress on your muscles and wake up the next day with a brand new pain in your body you never have had before. But the good news is no pain, no gain. As you take and stretch your muscles, exercise your muscles, and put resistance on your muscles, the good news is there will be more muscles and more strength in your body on the other side. Well, the same thing's also true of our faith. If our faith is never tested, if our faith is never tried, if we don't exercise our faith never becomes stronger. And we know in the Bible it's God's will that our faith becomes stronger, because God says that those that are full of his righteousness and peace in his spirit, they shall go from faith to faith. They shall go from strength to strength, getting stronger and stronger in the Lord. How many believe here today that we actually do need more faith in these last days? We're seeing everything of foundations around us being tested, being prodded. We're seeing deception rising around us in great measure. We need to have faith that what God's word says is really going to come to pass. The good news is faith comes, faith does come, and it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what your Spirit God says to us. Let us, O God, see faith increase in us right now, this day, O God. We praise you that you plant forth, O God, good seed in good soil and bring forth more strength, more faith, and more ability, Father God, to believe what you say is yes and amen and true. We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says again, the trying of your faith produces. And so when your faith is tried, your faith is tested, it's going to produce something good in your life. Some benefit takes place in your life on the other side. Just like in the natural, strength comes from resistance. In the life of Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham was given a promise by God at 75 years of age. It took 24 years at age 99 before the promise ever was realized and came to pass. How many here have ever waited for 24 years for God to give you a promise, then God give you the actual manifestation of that promise? Many of us can't wait more than 24 days, 24 minutes, or 24 hours. This guy waited for 24 years believing that what God said would come to pass. And God, the Bible says, counted that for righteousness. And God honored him for that throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. When it was naturally impossible, in the natural realm, impossible for Abraham and Sarah to give birth to children, that's when God showed up. And God brought forth a baby whose name was Isaac. It was impossible at age 99 to produce children by the body of Abraham. The Bible also says Sarah also was dried up. She had no way to give babies herself at all, the natural realm. In that hour, that season, God chooses to do a miracle and brings forth a divine conception and brings forth a baby whose name is Isaac in the very genealogy of Jesus Christ himself upon the earth. So this may seem like God is cruel, that God is mean, and even God may be unjust or unwise waiting like this. You got to realize that God is the Alpha and the Omega. What that means is God sees the beginning, but God also sees the ending. So anything that God does in answer to prayer, God gets the biggest bang for his buck, and God also does things in a timing that brings forth redemptive results in a ripple effect upon many, many lives, many times. In fact, the bigger the miracle God does, the more God makes sure he gets the exact season down before the miracle breaks loose and actually happens. You say, well, what took place in the miracle realm for Abraham? Well, glad you asked that. There's two things I see here. The first thing is, because Abraham waited, because God waited for Abraham 24 years, we now in the year 2015 receive the desire, the knowledge, revelation that God will take and bring forth the breakthrough in due season, due time for those who will faint not and hold on to his promises and believe that what God said, God will perform in the timing of his spirit. That's benefit number one. We now believe that. We can see that by his testimony there, by what God did for him. It puts faith in our lives to keep on keeping on and not give up in Jesus' name when God gives promises to us in answer to prayer. The second thing, though, not quite as obvious, is because God waited, he allowed Rebecca to be born, to be grown, and to be in the right place at the right time to become the wife of Isaac. Had Isaac been born 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 15 years sooner, he would never have met Rebecca and never married her like he did. Remember, Rebecca is the one who actually caused Jacob and Esau, caused her favorite Jacob to receive the firstborn's rights, robbed it from Esau, because God says, the Bible says, Esau God hated, but God loved Jacob and wanted Jacob in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Rebecca is the actual reason that we see Jacob's favor come forth. Jacob deceives his father. All those things, you know, are all bad and evil, but God takes the evil and turns it somehow to the good. And God uses Rebecca to exalt Jacob, and through Jacob's lineage comes Judah, and through Judah comes Jesus Christ. Can you see how two good things happen because God caused Abraham to wait for 24 years? Your testimony, his testimony to us, and also Rebecca's life being married to this man whose name was Isaac, all happened because of God's divine delays. Realize that God does things in his timing because God sees the entire world. He sees all peoples. He sees the future. And God knows exactly when to break through like nobody else does. That's why I put my life, my prayers, my faith in God's hands. And I say, God, you be God and do things in your timing, in your way, because God knows best. Amen? Okay, so we are way too quick sometimes to judge the results of faith rather than the enduring in our faith. We want to see sometimes instant results. We want to see a quick fix. We want to see God show up instantly. And God, again, very rarely does that. When Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree, the Bible says the next day they came back and the fig tree was withered and it was actually dried up at the roots and it was dead. Now, some translations, again, another time there, it happens instantly. One translation says it took a whole 24-hour period for the fig tree to wither up and die. And so sometimes when God speaks things out or God does things, he brings answers we can see with our eyes or our five senses, sometimes much further down the road. I still have many unanswered prayers in my life, and I believe you guys probably do as well. I want to instill in you guys this morning here, we need to learn to walk in enduring faith for ourselves, for our children, for our families, for our nation, for our city, because God is not finished with us. As long as God's alive, anything is possible in the good upon the earth. Amen? Even for America, even for Russia, for China, for the nations, all things are still possible for the good. As long as we're alive and we're praying in Jesus' name and believing him for great and mighty things that we know not. All right? So, moving on. Let's look now at some things, some truths concerning the faith of Abraham, how Abraham teaches us by his example of how to have enduring faith. Let's write these things down. There's some place in your bulletins to write some notes down as well. You might want to do that by suggestion. Number one is, enduring faith begins always with a promise. God always gives some kind of a promise to us, and then that promise then will go through a testing sometimes, goes through delay many times. But the good news is the promise that God gives us, God hears that promise, God speaks that promise, and God will perform that promise in the timing of his Spirit. So, Romans chapter 4:17, again it said this, it said, I have made you father, Abraham, of many nations. Now he said this before Abraham was a father of anybody. He was actually had no children, he had one wife, himself, relatives, but no kids. And God is saying, I've made you already today the father of many nations. Now, God's not teasing Abraham. God's not lying to Abraham. God sees things in advance even before they happen on the earth. Amen? So, let's move on and see what it says next of all. Verse 17 goes on. It says, God gives life to the dead and calls those things that don't exist as though they did exist. A lot of you guys here have come from a thing called the Rhema movement, the faith of God movement. God restored that truth to the body of Christ in the 70s and 80s. And I'm saying, please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because some folks might have gone to some extremes with that and tried to believe God for the best car, the best house, the best jewelry, whatever else. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The truth is God wants us today to call those things that are not as though they were. The key thing there is, though, be in submission to God and pray in the will of God and come into agreement with God what God wants you to pray for, not to consume things on your own lust, but to take and seek first his kingdom, his righteousness in your prayers. Then God will partner with you, and you'll see that those things that are not will come to pass in the timing and the grace and the power of God's Spirit. This is one of the reasons that the enemy has made sure that cultures, entire cultures of nations around the world, lean toward causing people to begin distrusting each other and not believe the promises they make upon the earth. You guys that are here have all seen people around you make guarantees, make warranties, make commitments. I'll be at your house at such and such time. I'll be there for such and such event. They don't show up. They don't make phone calls. They break their promises left, right, and center, it seems like. Way back in the good old days, back in my dad's farm days in Missouri, I saw farmers back in the 60s actually do major business transactions with a word of their mouth and a handshake. No written documents, no written contracts. They said, my word is good, my handshake is good. If I say it and I shake on it, that's good enough for me. Those days are almost over on the face of the earth. If you go buy a house right now, you got to sign documents for about 3 hours. They're about the size of an encyclopedia in the old days. And people just do not trust each other anymore like they did way back in the old days. The good news for you and I is anything God says is true. God will do what God says he will do. If God said it, I believe it. That doesn't matter, though. The main thing is leave the I believe it out sometimes. And that the main thing is that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. It will come to pass. Whether you believe it or not, if God said it, that settles it. It's going to come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. But I prayed this morning here, if you don't believe some things God says, you will start believing some things that God says, and God will put belief back in your hearts once again if doubts replace some beliefs in you somehow, some way. Faith begins, I want you to notice this, faith begins with a promise, not a petition. A petition has to be accepted or denied. That's why you don't go to God and start begging and pleading with him, oh God, please do this. Oh God, I beg of you, get involved in this. Those are called petitions. It begins with and always involves a thing called promises. Because promises are things that deal with things that are being kept or being broken. Either promises are kept or promises are broken. And the good news is God never breaks a promise. God always keeps his promises. Amen. When I told Cheryl 34 years ago, in May, 34 years back, for better, for worse, she didn't know how worse it could be. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, I'm healthy most of the time, praise God. To love and to honor till death do us part, she believed what I said. And so far I've kept that word every day now for 34 years of blissful marriage, amen. God is saying he's also bigger than I am, bigger than you are. What man says is one thing. What God says is something totally different because God cannot lie. God only tells the truth. There's no shadow of turning in him. His yes is always yes. His no is always no. And God can be trusted in what he says. Amen? So faith begins with a promise, not a petition. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he gave us 32,000 promises in the Bible that were stamped with God's great big yes. If I promise this and say this, it will come to pass, says the Lord. Faith is not based on a petition. Faith, again, is based on a promise. You don't need to beg God to answer prayer. You don't need to beg God and say that you're a little worm who's unworthy of all answers from the Lord. You need to realize who you are in Jesus Christ and that God wants to hear and God wants to answer your prayer more than you think and more than you know. I appreciate Sky that got here and shared a little bit here a few minutes ago how she actually was used for the first time in her life at YFN camp. She laid hands on people, and God honored their faith, and God honored her prayers, and some folks got healed instantly for the first time in her life. She saw that right in front of her face. You guys got to realize it takes sometimes some risk-taking. It takes getting what may be embarrassing to you sometimes in your flesh, but I'm saying God is true, God is just, and God will perform above all we ask or think or imagine. God wants to answer prayer more than we realize and more than we know. Amen? So, what this means is you got to, first of all, find a promise. You got to find a promise. Now, there's some general promises in the Word of God that many Christians have no problem with. Those promises are true. One promise is those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I hope all you guys in the room today, this congregation, you all believe and know the promise of God is your salvation is intact. If you die today and you see God face to face in a few minutes, he will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys of heaven. You are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that promise? Amen? Well, praise God for that. Also, God promises us divine provision. All the Israelites had manna every day of their week. They had water, they had manna, they had food. God provides for us. And the Bible tells us in a promise here, I shall provide all of your needs according to my riches in glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Throughout the entire Bible, God promises us provision upon the earth. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So praise God, we all believe that as well. We also believe God for divine protection. He is our sword. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He's our strong tower. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And all these promises God gives us says God will always protect us on the face of the earth. I'm going to live out all of my days and not die prematurely in Jesus' name. Then going on beyond that, though, there's a thing called specific promises to your specific valleys. You may find yourself going through yourself in very, very individual type senses. In these promises or these dilemmas and valleys, we need to exercise again a thing that says, think on the problem you're facing today and ask God, if God's not given a promise to you about that yet, let's ask God today for a promise as a solution for the problem we face upon the earth. Because the fact is, no problem anybody in this room faces right now, is there not a promise for that problem in the Word of God? I'm going to stop right now and do a little practical exercise. I do once in a while in the church here and places I go as well and speak sometimes. I do it myself as well for myself. I want you to think right now about a problem you're facing. Think about it. It may be a rebellious child. It might be lack of finances. It could be insomnia. It could be something to do with your worry about our government or our nation. Think about a problem you're facing right now and then ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask Him in a quiet way, just even silently, Holy Spirit, Father God, do you have a scripture for this problem in my life? I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to show me in my mind, in my heart, show me a scripture. Give me a scripture about the problem I'm facing in my life. Let's do it right now together. Holy Spirit, I praise you right now. Heavenly Father, give me a verse. Give me a scripture for a problem I'm facing in life right now. I need an answer. I need a solution. I ask you right now for a scripture for that in Jesus' name. Now just be quiet. Just be still. And see if there's something that comes in your mind, your heart, that may come from Genesis to Revelation and in between all those chapters, all those verses. Is the Holy Spirit giving you a verse? If He does give you a verse, get your Bibles, get your iPads, and look that up right now. I'm going to keep on moving forward. Okay? Because I'm saying, telling you time and time again, when I face problems and things that are too big for me in life, I will stop and I'll say, Father God, do you have a verse about this problem? Do you have a promise for me about this? And time and time again, God will bring a verse or a scripture into my mind. I'll look it up. It'll be exactly what I need to hear. And that word gives me faith and gives me hope that God's going to take and intervene in my problem, in my valley, and bring forth something good that's beyond my abilities as a human being on the earth. Amen? How many can right now, with raising your hand up, say, God gave you a verse? How many folks? Okay, what did God give you, Linda? And what's that say? Good. You know what that's for. You know what that means. And so that made sense. Over here with somebody, had their hand up. Hand up again over here somewhere. Somebody back here is Teresa. Yes. Yes. And there's one more over here. Had their hand up this area right here. Yes. What's your first name? Donna. Go ahead. Yes. And that's just for you, because whatever you're going through in life, God gave you that today. You've already come to church now and received your own personal message. Amen. All you guys did. So I'm saying, God is, whenever we're in a place like this together, the Holy Spirit's here, your angels are all here. God is here among us because there's two or three gathered in His name. He's actually going to give you messages in the message. There's going to be for you specifically. So I'm saying, don't neglect. When problems and valleys take place in your life, find a quiet place and say, Father God, do you have a scripture, a verse, a word, a vision for me about my valley? And watch what God can do. Amen. So that's a good practice there. And God honored that also today. So in the Bible, it says whenever In Genesis, whenever God saw there was darkness over the face of the earth, notice that God did not curse the darkness and command the darkness to go. What did God do? God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And guess what? The darkness fled at the speed of light. So what God is saying to you and I is also, and this whole thing about the gay marriage thing yesterday, is it's not always a wise thing for us to curse the darkness. The wise thing to do is release the light and release the gospel and release the truth and let God dispel the darkness the way that God will do that, because not by might, not by power, not by Facebook, says the Lord, but by my spirit shall kingdoms of darkness be exposed and come down in Jesus' name. Now, Cheryl shared with me yesterday a thing called Faith Hit on Twitter that she read here. And I want to just read this also, you guys. I kind of agree with what's being said here. It says, what do we do in the next few days and weeks and months and years now that our Supreme Court's passed the law that we now can have same-sex marriage? What do Christians, what do believers, what's your reaction supposed to be to that? Now, I saw some wisdom in the five things they mentioned here briefly. I'm going to read these things to you in a brief Reader's Digest type format. They said, we would advise you guys that are believers to commit to five things. The first thing, as I said, pray. Number one is pray. Don't pray cursing the darkness, but pray for the spreading of the gospel, the healing of our nation, and for same-sex couples to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I would add to that, pray for the children that are innocent victims being put into same-sex marriage families and being raised in a way that is not the pattern God has for families on the face of the earth. Amen. So I would add that also there. So I'm saying, when you pray, don't bind the spirit of homosexuality. Don't bind perversion. Don't bind and don't rebuke and curse darkness. And don't get mad at the thing of sin. Sinners do what sinners do best. They sin. But pray that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out there more so. If my people called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen. So you cannot fight this devil by your flesh, by your petitions, by your signs, or by your Facebook posts. You're going to need God's Spirit to change the hearts of same-sex people to see truth come in, salvation come in, and deliverance come in, and then bring forth the order of God that brings forth lasting results in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, they said, commit also to listen. Listen to God. How do I pray? What do I do? And also listen to same-sex couples and unbelievers. Listen to them. Have them out to lunch sometime. Meet them at Starbucks someplace. Christ himself spent time with sinners in bars, okay? He listened to them. So I'm saying, get their heartbeat, hear what they have to say there. Don't take and try to fix them or try to condemn them or try to convince them what they're doing is wrong. They need Jesus as our Lord and Savior. No man can do spiritual things when he's controlled by his nature and controlled by his sinful nature. Amen? They need God first in their lives, the hope of glory, to come in them and forgive them of sins and then be in their lives. And then through that, let truth and light come forth, we pray, with God's help. Number three, they said, remember. Remember God's grace. God has patience. God has grace. There's been nations in the world that are far more evil than we see in our own nation today. They're not destroyed yet. No tsunamis, no big earthquakes, no giant fireballs from heaven coming out yet on them. God's got grace. God's got patience. And God's done the work through Jesus Christ that many folks will come to him before Christ returns. Okay? Also, remember, God is not surprised. God didn't wake up yesterday and read the newspaper in America and say, I can't believe they did that. That caught me off guard. What are we going to do, Jesus? Well, what do we do? Okay, just pack up and go. That's it. We're out of here. No, God, nothing catches him by surprise. Now, some things do disappoint God. Some things do grieve God. Some things, I would say, make God unhappy. But God still says, my church has got my spirit and my power in them and on them. May they do the wise thing in the face of these crises in these last days and not lose heart. Remember, God's not surprised. Also, remember, we are not called to fret or get fearful or also rant and become brats. in any way upon the earth. Amen. You're never called to fight with your power, your strength, your wisdom, your might, or also get involved in fear. Look what Satan got by with. Oh, my Lord, we're going to all go to hell now. No, don't fear, don't fret. God is still in control of the world, and God still has the final say, and God is still causing people to come to Christ before Jesus Christ returns. Amen. Number four, they say commit to prepare. Prepare means not to have arguments, but to point people to Jesus Christ, to truth. Our mission is to stand as witnesses to the work of the cross, not to try and fix everybody around us who's sinning. Point people to the cross of Jesus Christ and salvation, and let God deal with their hearts by His Spirit. Then number five, they say commit to persevere. This means don't let your love grow cold. Don't become cynical. Don't speak words of death over the country. Let this decision cultivate a deeper trust in a God who knows all things, holds all things together, and is coming soon. We are called to follow the one whom the world hated. We are called to follow the one whom the world hated. If they hated him, they're going to also hate you, okay? But let's not cause them to hate us for being brats. They use a different word than that. I'm going to use the word brats. But if they do hate us, may it be for our passion for God and for souls, not because we're brats on social media or on our mouths or attitudes around the earth, okay? So I'm saying to you guys again, this is not the end. This is only the beginning of what the devil would like to do down the road. I'm praying also, I'm going to ask you guys to pray that the agenda of hell will not prevail in the situation here. I already know in the prophetic sense what Satan wants is Satan wants to stop the voice of God everywhere in the world. He always attacks the word. And so what Satan wants to do, I'm just going to announce this, it won't happen in Jesus' name. He wants it to be where the same-sex couples eventually will start coming to churches like this one and saying, we want to get married by you. And we'll say, we just don't do those kind of marriages here. And we'll find ourselves either getting sued or we'll find ourselves losing our nonprofit status in Austin, Texas, in America. That would be disastrous for many churches in the natural realm. What I'm saying to you guys is, let's pray the agenda of hell will not prevail in this situation. Amen? That God's agenda will prevail, and we're going to keep a right spirit, a loving heart, a non-judgmental spirit, and say, Father God, may they come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the days ahead. Okay, so that's in a nutshell some things I saw that I agree with as well. There's things beyond that, but please keep on praying for tolerance among believers, among Christians, among the church. Keep our focus on people getting saved for Jesus Christ and coming to Him, and let God deal with sin, because sin will be around us until Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, okay? So moving on here, whatever your dilemma may be, God says yes, and you say amen. That's what the Bible tells us. The challenge comes in the waiting part, the persevering part, the enduring part. It's not ever easy. When you call for pizza delivery at your house, how many of you guys always get your checkbook or your debit card or your cash ready before the pizza man comes? Why do you do that? Because you believe you made the call, they made the promise, we're going to bring the pizza to you within 20 minutes. So you make preparations for them to come even before they come. The same thing is true of faith. If you pray it, start acting even now like the answer is already yours. The answer is coming to you. I'm being prepared for this, and I'm rejoicing right now in advance that God will do what God said He will do in Jesus' name. Let's move on. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans 4, 18 says, who contrary to hope, this is Abraham, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So point number two is about his enduring faith. Once you receive a promise, the timetable is up to God. When the answer comes, it's going to be up to God receiving the greatest glory from that answer, not 1 minute sooner. I want to give what's called not deja vu, Groundhog Day illustration. Some of you guys have been here for a long time, heard me speak this out in the past, several years ago, about the timing of God answering prayer. But what took place was back about 15 years ago. Cheryl worked at Shoreline Christian Center as one of the receptionists back at the Runberg when it was called Christian Faith Center. And a lady was going to come, came in there for a brand new convert, came in there to Pastor Rob or someone there on the staff and said, I need benevolent help. I need an HEB gift card. And so in that season there, I was working a job at an irrigation company, a water place or a landscape place. And I came to have lunch with Cheryl. And Cheryl said, Michael, she calls me Michael, would you mind taking and going to HEB with this $50 and buying an HEB gift card for a needy woman who's single who needs money for food for her family who's a brand new convert? I said, okay, I'll go do that. I got to run some errands, do some more inspections. So maybe about 3 or 4 hours from now, I'll go ahead and get that done and bring it back to you by 4 o'clock today. She goes, okay, I guess that's all right. So I get my pickup. I'm driving out of the Shoreline or Christian Faith Center parking lot, and the Holy Spirit says, go right now to HEB. I heard it finally the third time. He said it real loud, and I heard God real plain, go right now to HEB. I thought it was just kind of, you know, too much lunch or my own imagination the first two times. But God said the third time, go right now to HEB. So I go to HEB over there by Runberg. I buy the little HEB gift card, bring it back to the church, give it to Cheryl. The lady comes in about 30 minutes later and gets her HEB gift card about 1 o'clock from her. She drives HEB parking lot. She gets out there to get her groceries. She sees a stray dog in the parking lot. The stray dog has got a collar with a name and phone number on that. She calls the phone number. The man says, oh, that's my dog. He got out of my fence. Please wait there with me for that dog. I'll be there in just about 5 or 10 minutes. He shows up, gets the dog, and gives her a $100 reward for waiting with that dog. With that $100, she buys her groceries for $50. She fills her tank up with gasoline. She helps out a needy friend of hers and then pays and gives her tithe to Shoreline on that Wednesday night service that night. Pastor Rob hears about the testimony of the whole thing taking place. That Wednesday night, he gets the microphone and says, I am so touched and so blessed by this testimony of this lady, what she did. I'm going to go ahead and have the buckets passed right now to receive an offering for her. She received $1,600 that night in a love offering at Christian Faith Center about 15, 16, 17 years ago. What I'm trying to say is, if I had not got her to HEB at the right time, the dog would not have been there. With no testimony, no $100, no love offering that night, she would have lost $1,700. It would have been hers had I been not in the timing of the Lord. You cannot orchestrate things like that yourself. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit and be praying to God, Father, lead me, guide me, direct me, and do these things as you will, because the timing is in the hands of the Lord. Amen? She'd been praying, and God answered in God's timing. One of the dynamics of being poor is being poor creates a lack of options. And that actually is a good thing many times, because we Americans sometimes are so full of insurance and full of funds and money that we have many options. For example, when a toothache breaks out and there's a great big deep cavity right down to your roots, if you have got insurance or money, the options is get the tooth pulled or get a root canal for $800 or get your tooth pulled and put an implant in for $1,500. Those are all options you've got, or let God heal you. Well, most of us will take the other easier path there of the root canal or the implant and the tooth being pulled. If you're poor, your options are what? Get the tooth pulled, have a hole in your mouth, or let God heal you. That's what you got, one or two. So that's why the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 5, on the screen here, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Sometimes having too many options actually works against our faith. And I'm saying, let's get to the point where we finally put God as our first option. When sickness breaks out, disease breaks out, bad things happen to us, valleys happen in our lives, let's let God be the first option, not the last option. Amen? Let's opt for God first and implant of tooth last. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be doing that. I'm speaking to myself here as well. Number three, your faith must be greater than the facts. Your faith must become greater than the facts. Romans chapter 4:19 says, and not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead because he was 99 years old, and the deadness also of Sarah's womb. The fact was, her womb was dead, his body was dead. They could not produce babies anymore on the earth. Yet, he still knew what God said. God said, "You'll be the father of many nations." So Abraham took God at his word and did not give up. So, in the cult of Christian Science, one of their main errors is they believe to get healed of cancer or diseases, you don't acknowledge or you deny that thing even exists in your body. Just deny the cancer's there. Just deny that there's any sickness in you. Now, what God says through the Word of God in the New Testament, he says, speak to the mountain, acknowledge the mountain, speak to the mountain, and it shall be removed. So acknowledge the mountain, see the mountain, speak to the mountain, and it will be removed. Okay? So don't deny there's cancer. Don't deny there's problems in your health or finances. But then speak to it and believe it shall be removed in Jesus' name. And then find promises in God's word about that mountain and see how God agrees with you. This mountain shall crumble and be removed. All right? Just like the law of the law of lift in airplanes trumps over the law of gravity, so also the law of faith trumps over the facts upon the earth. When I get on those big old giant jumbo jets and fly from here to Europe or Asia or whatever, and I see 300 people all around me with their luggage and their bodies and the chairs and the windows and the plastic and the big wings and all the metal, I say, how in the world is this airplane going to take off on this little short runway? It seems short right there. But somehow, by the law of lift, those jet engines give enough propulsion there where the wind under the wings lifts a whole airplane up in the air. It defies the law of gravity, and it takes off, and it flies. The law of faith trumps over the law of facts. No matter what the facts may be, God is a God of the supernatural, and nothing is impossible for him and for those who believe. Amen? So number four, your faith must strengthen instead of waver. This is very, very important in the last days. Your faith must strengthen and not waver, especially in these last days. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. One translation says, Abraham did not stagger in his faith. What makes you stagger? Sometimes too much liquor, sometimes being too tired, sometimes being sick. Something is weakened in your mind or your body, and you become a wavering, staggering person on the earth. God is saying, find ways to be sober-minded and strengthen your faith in the most holy faith, and don't waver in your faith to see answers take place in your life. Because Abraham did not stagger in faith, he became stronger in faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 on the screen here as well, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's why the disciples of Jesus Christ said, Lord, help us with unbelief. We want to see unbelief out of our minds and out of our hearts. Because he told them, nothing shall be too hard for you who believe. Our biggest enemy is unbelief. Amen? So unbelief only goes away because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So I'm saying read your Bible, memorize the Bible, write promises down, speak those promises out, declare those promises every day, and through that, it will strengthen your faith. It will cause you not to waver and doubt in your heart. Number five, you must become fully persuaded. Become fully persuaded. One thing you can take home today is a homework assignment. Whatever valley you're facing in life, I encourage you guys, get your concordance out, get your iPads out, and find words and find promises about your problem and write those promises down on paper and read them to yourself every day. That is a prescription from Dr. Johnson. In Jesus' name, this day. Take three Gospels a day in Jesus' name, and you will be strengthened in the most holy faith. Amen. Not an antibiotic, but a probiotic and a Gospel in Jesus' name to help you out. All right? Romans chapter 4, verse 21 says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We're going to see a whole lot of things around the nations happen beyond same-sex marriage laws getting passed. I'm a bit rattled myself that we're in a place right now in our country where nine non-elected judges can pass laws like this with no vote. That rattles me. In history, that's not a healthy thing. In nations gone by, that's not a healthy thing. Amen? So I'm saying we got to pray beyond what man does. Got to fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. It's time for the church to pray and believe God to intervene. Why do you think Abraham was so fully persuaded and convinced that what God said would come to pass? Because God proved himself true for 75 years before he gave the promise to Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation and forevermore. The words of the Lord are pure words, purified seven times. That means they're perfect words. And what God says, God will perform by his Spirit. The way you know that you are fully persuaded that God's going to do what he promises is God will give you a supernatural peace that passes understanding when God gives you a promise. Let's read now Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond peace, next thing is, it also will be joy. When God gives you a title deed, when God gives you a promise for your valleys and dilemmas, there'll be joy break out that God's spoken and what God says God will do. Romans 5:2 goes on and says, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The third thing is, there'll also be the good result of endurance instilled in us when God gives us promises. Verse 3, Romans 5 goes on, says this, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance and endurance in us with God's help. As I close here today and James comes back to the platform, I want to mention to you guys again, remember Job and Paul and Daniel, because these guys all are examples of enduring faith. What does Job tell us? Job tells us, though my body be covered in scabs and sores and disease, my God can heal me and raise me up. What does Paul tell me? Though my church be split with divisions, factions, and carnal, fleshly, deceived people, like in Corinth, I will still rejoice that God can help straighten this mess out and bring all things to his glory and preserve me to the final day in Jesus' name. What does Daniel tell me? Daniel says, though my nation, though my country bows down to idols and serves demons, I shall find myself as a man of favor and promotion in the eyes of God. Though I find myself in a lion's den to be killed and crushed by animals, my God can show up and stop their mouths by the power of his Spirit. I know that no matter what my culture goes through, my God is faithful to me regardless. These are three men in the Bible that show us today perseverance, endurance, steadfastness will always pay off in your life. Amen? When verse 4 says that perseverance produces character, the Greek word for character, that Greek word means integrity under fire. Character is integrity under fire. If your character has not been tested, it's not from God. But your character will be tested. On Monday morning, you're going to have a lot of unbelievers around you. You guys that work secular jobs, they're going to have all their comments. Some are going to be gloating and smiling and clapping at the laws being passed of same-sex marriage. What's your reaction going to be? Can you somehow tap into God's love, God's grace, God's goodness for them? This is not the final answer. I'm still praying, brother or sister, you get saved. You come to Christ. I'm not going to rant and rave and defend myself. I'm not going to put up posters and put out little bleeps on my Facebook page about how bad this thing may be. I'm going to talk about the goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord, because these folks need to get saved and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it will not take place if I find myself being a smart aleck or trying to defend myself in a carnal, natural realm or getting mad and angry and tossing out barbs that are smart aleck barbs around people around me that are unbelievers who just don't know any better. I need to be like Jesus Christ is to unbelievers, especially in the times of turmoil upon our nation. When our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I want to say again, if there's a price tag on your salvation, on your faith, the devil will pay that price. If you say today that I will serve God as long as my kids are healthy, as long as I have a retirement plan, as long as my wife is with me, as long as my job is mine, I'll serve God all those days. Well, if you say if, Satan will pay that price. He'll come to kill and steal and destroy because he wants your faith. He wants the Word of God in you. He wants it shut up and stopped in your life. What I want to pray for today is I want to pray that God gives you a promise. Because all of us here today need a promise. Praise God for those folks that raise their hand. God gave you a promise this morning from His Word about your valley and your dilemma. The good news is God's alive every day, every second. God has promises throughout the entire Bible, even in dreams and visions, circumstances and other believers, and even messages like this. God has promises He wants to instill into your heart. Let's right now just let's lift one hand to God right now, please. Lift one hand to God, and let's just ask the Lord today at the close of this service. Father God, I'm open right now to receive the promise concerning my valley, concerning my dilemma, both today and also, Father God, for the future. I pray, Lord, this day I receive, O God, the grace to have ears that are hearing the voice of God, to perceive what God is saying in my valleys, in my dilemmas, and also people around me who I influence. Help me have answers and promises even for them in the days ahead, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray you help each one of us also to not lose heart by laws being passed, by cultures and nations looking more evil and doing things against your word. Let us, O God, be those who call upon your name and say, Father God, nothing is too hard for you, because the devil always overplays his hand. He always goes too far. And we declare he's gone too far this time. And there shall come forth a recompense by God. And God shall bring forth an answer. And God will bring forth a solution. I'm going to have Cheryl hand me my Bible, if you wouldn't, on the front there. I wasn't going to read this because this almost sounds too controversial, but I prayed for 5 minutes yesterday about this same-sex thing, law being passed. I said, Holy Spirit, do you have anything at all to say to me about this law being passed? And I was amazed that the Holy Spirit just very fast put in my mind, my heart. He said, turn to Isaiah 19 and verse 16 and 17 and just read that. So I did that, and it makes some sense to me. It might to you, it might not. But Isaiah 19, 16, and 17 says this. In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. And the land of Judah, that's us, the church, will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. What the Spirit of God was telling me about these two verses was, the main point here is, God will wave his hands over it. When God waves his hands, it means God is acting in our behalf to bring salvation, answers, and solutions, and divine interventions. I'm praying to God today that God's hand is waved over America and waved over the world to bring forth answers, salvation, and solutions in Jesus' name. Amen? We agree with that? All right. I'm going to have Therese Brocker come to the front here. Dismiss us in a moment in prayer, if you would do that, please. One thing about valleys is Valleys are sometimes longer and deeper than we anticipate. But God's word tells us there is no temptation given you, but such as is common to the Son of Man, who will not with the temptation make a way of escape, but you can bear any temptation that comes your way. We're going to have Jack and Teresa available at the end of the service here to pray for anybody in the church that wants individual prayer. They're going to do that once a month for us, so they're here today to linger behind the service and be here for prayer. We'll have Teresa pray for us in dismissal. If you guys can come back Wednesday night, do that, please. This back here is a comment as well by Charlie. Yes. Okay, Isaiah 58:12. All right, 58:12. This says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Amen. So that's also a good verse to be reading, that one as well. Those are promises God gives us for nations like America. The first thing to do is fear and get angry. Those are two things you want to avoid. Amen. Fear and anger. It's time for prayer, intervention, God to fight for us, and be a person who uses wisdom and God's nature and character in our talk and speech around of people around us. Amen.